You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek back in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, June 12th, episode 3452. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, good morning, everybody. We are back here with a brand new show for you. Ashley is with me today. Thank you for filling in here, Ashley. I've always been told that we don't do enough trigger warnings on this show. So this is what we're going to talk about in the first half hour. If you can't handle that today, then I would say go to 30 minutes and listen to the rest of the show. You'll be fine. So we have Samantha Calabrese on the show today, and she lost her horse in the tragic barn fire in Ohio over the weekend. And she's just going to join us to give us an update on what's going on there and how you can help all of those involved. She had a 2-year-old horse that was lost in the fire that was in for training. So we thought it was important, and thank you to Ashley for setting this all up. She's a friend of one of our auditors, and our auditor is going to be on as well. We did talk recently about the tornadoes and everything, and, you know, we like this to be kind of a light and lively show, but there are times like this that we feel it's important to discuss these topics. And barn fires are our biggest fear as horse owners. I mean, it's just, whether you own your own barn or you're in a boarding stable or whatever, right? I mean, Ashley, you know, you've owned horses forever. Mm-hmm. It is the one thing we worry about the most because it's you can't predict it, right?
Right.
So, and it happened so fast like it did in Ohio. So we thought it was important to highlight at least one person of the many who were involved in that. Also, Madeline Bost is going to join us to talk about horse dehydration and how to avoid it. And I have a study show, too, and there's lots of funny ones in there. So we're going to do that later in the show. So as I said, if you want to fast forward to the 30-minute mark, you can do that. I wanted to start off the show by explaining why Jamie is not here. As you know, Jennifer and I were visiting relatives in Pennsylvania, and that's why we missed Friday and Monday. But Jamie was out on Monday, and we had a best out because her mom did pass away over the weekend. She flew down to Florida on Saturday. I think her mom passed away on Sunday or Monday. So I wanted to let everybody know that that happened. Our thoughts and prayers are with Jamie and her family at this time, her brothers and everybody. So we're thinking about her. She is home now. She's getting some horse therapy time. Wasn't really up for doing the show this morning. I don't blame her for that. So she said that she'll be back on the show on Friday. So we'll both be here on Friday. But I did want to mention that, and we're thinking about her at this time. It's kind of a mixed blessing. You know, it's kind of a mixed thing in that her mom was so sick, you know, but then still after you know, it really hits you hard when you have that situation. My mom was kind of in a simpler situation when she passed. It was a blessing that she did, and yet it was still, that almost made it harder after. So I know what Jamie's going through, and we're giving her our best. And we're going to do some daily whinnies, though, before we get to our guest, and we do have some birthdays. We have 3 auditor birthdays. I think a couple of them are catch-up birthdays, aren't they, that we missed over the weekend? So
yes, and yeah. I put them in here so thank that you didn't get any flack.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for looking out for me. Nancy Bowman, Christy Parsons, and Mary Calkins, happy birthday to all 3 of you. We hope you have a fantastic day.
And my daily whinny goes out to the U.S. Para Dressage team. They won at the CPEDI Hagen in Germany. The team of Rebecca Hart, Fiona Howard, Beatrice de Lavalette, which is just right. So much fun to say.
Yep.
And Kate Shoemaker posted excellent scores with 7 out of 8 over 70%, which is
that's amazing.
I mean, that's a dream. I think I don't know if I ever, maybe I've gotten over 71%, maybe one time in my little years of riding.
And that was a baby novice.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you know, I did. I competed in first level, but okay, yeah, it's right. Not. I mean, that's still first level. It seemed like a big deal at the time. And their score brought them up to the top of the podium ahead of second place Team France and third place Team Italy. So it was also a U.S. team record, looking great for the Olympics, which I was telling Glenn before we recorded. I have never been more excited to watch, you know, I always am excited to watch the equestrian sports in the every Summer Olympics, but the fact that dressage is going to be at Versailles has my little Francophile heart beating out of my chest. And you guys, I'll be able to drink French wine at the same time.
The baby will be drunk, but
dad has 3 months paternity leave too. He can be on duty. I'm going to have my dressage on. I'm going to have my French you'll be getting wine.
Where you live, you'll be getting up about 4 a.m. to watch that.
I'll be up anyway with the baby.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you'll be fine. I did want to mention that Ellie Brimmer, who's the president of the United States Para Dressage Association, is on the next dressage show. We recorded that last week. Ellie's terrific. I love Ellie. We've known her for years, and she's and she said, so funny, because she recorded this interview before we knew about this win, and it was a big win. They were way ahead of everybody else. So we recorded it beforehand, and she said, I think our team's going to be pretty good. Ellie, yep, I think your team's going to be pretty good. Speaking about pregnancies, before we get to our guest to talk about the barn fire, some good news, knock on wood. You're still pregnant and everything's going well?
Yeah. I mean, I went to the doctor yesterday and they're like, whoa, do you have any pain? I'm like, just as much pain as any person who's been pregnant for 400 years. And they're like, yeah, that's the standard response.
I texted you over the weekend. And when I texted her, I asked how she was doing. And she sent a picture of an Oompa Loompa rolling down a hill. So yeah. That's how I kind of felt like you were feeling.
That's my vibe for the last few weeks. I also sent you great pictures of my husband.
Yes. That's hilarious.
So I, you know, like we say, we're friends outside of the show. And so this weekend we were practicing trying on all of these different baby wearing devices. So if you're not a mom,
what are they
you've
called?
Seen
the ones at the front?
And that's like a brand and a specific type. But like, you know, if you're not a mom, you're just like, okay, whatever. There's like a baby on a harness,
yeah.
You know? And so we had through different hand-me-downs, again, life hack. If you're pregnant a little bit after your friends, you get all the hand-me-downs. It's great. 10 out of 10 recommend. And Zach had maybe had a couple drinks Saturday afternoon. And I said, you know, I think we should try on these baby wearing things and just, you know, make sure we know how to do them. Because some are like, I don't even know, 15 feet of fabric. You got a loopy goopy yeah. double knot, you know, whatever. So we're watching YouTube videos on how to tie these different styles, because I have 4 or 5 different styles, because you don't know what you're going to like, the baby's going to like. And we put my dog, Bruce, who's a Boston Terrier, like 25 pounds, in the baby carrier to test drive them to make sure that it would hold the weight of a baby. And you guys, my dog, first of all, loved it. He was so
He did look very happy. Like, finally, so I don't happy. Have to walk. <It's> like,
I'm getting the treatment I've always
yes,
wanted.
Exactly.
And I mean, okay, like, we're all friends here. I'm very pregnant. I peed my pants. I was laughing so hard. I mean, Zach was just laughing.
I'll use that, if you don't mind. I'll use that as one of the pictures for the show notes today.
Oh, absolutely. Zach was having the best time. I mean, it was just some good old-fashioned fun. So, you know, between wearing our dogs instead of a baby and me being a giant planet-sized person.
Only 1 month now.
What? Yes. Yeah. So actually 32 days.
There you go. Yeah. You know, obviously you're looking forward. I'm not looking forward to, I'm excited about you having a baby, but selfishly, I'm not looking forward to you leaving me for 3 months.
I know.
But you're doing, she's doing, I do have to tell everybody, Ashley is so conscientious. She's getting everything worked ahead of time. So because she's that conscientious, she doesn't have to do that, but she is. And thank you for that. Jennifer, thanks you for that too.
Listen, I love you guys. I want you to not hate me by the time I come back for Radiothon.
All right. Well, let's switch gears here a little bit. Y'all heard about the barn fire over the weekend. It was at the property of Brandon Brandt and Eric Priest. And I did want to mention that Brandon Brandt, ironically, was, we interviewed him last week for tomorrow's show, the NRHA episode. So he will be on tomorrow's show, but it was an interview that was done before the fire. I talked to Christy and Sarah from the NRHA hosts, and they decided to leave the interview in, and they put some disclaimers in there. But we thought it was important that you got to hear what a cool guy he was. And matter of fact, when we're done with that interview, I said, what a cool guy. He was a hockey player before, and he was just a cool guy. So we still want you to hear that interview. That'll be on tomorrow's show. It's just an irony that we did that right before, 2 days before the fire. So y'all heard about the fire. There were 44 horses lost in this fire. And we have one of our auditors, Jennifer, coming on, who is friends with Samantha Calabrese, who had her horse at the barn for training. And we're going to get her on to talk about the people that were there and just give us a flavor of what the atmosphere is like at the barn. And we also want to talk to her about the amazing community that's come together. The reining community is amazing that way, that's come together to help support those that have lost horses and, you know, stuff. There were four people living in apartments in the barn that lost everything too. So it was, you know, it was a tough situation all the way around, and something, as I mentioned earlier, that we all fear as barn owners. So we have our auditor, Jennifer, on here. And Jennifer, I think you've been with us for a long time, haven't you?
I sure have.
Yeah, I thought so. I think it's been a long time. And you live in Ohio, Jennifer?
In Michigan, actually.
In Michigan, okay.
Southeast Michigan, yeah.
But you knew people that were at the barn that where the fire happened?
Yes. My barn manager and his daughter, who we've been thick as thieves for almost 10 years now. They had their new filly down there in training with Eric Priest at that facility. So it's been a tough weekend.
Yeah. And we do have Samantha on with us, whose horse that was. Hi, Samantha. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Samantha, just, you know, our thoughts are with everybody there. This is, as I said earlier in the show, this is the one thing that, I mean, there's a lot of things with horses that we all dread as horse owners, but this is the one thing that we all dread is a barn fire. And, you know, I know how tough it is for you to be here, and I just thank you for coming on to talk about it. I think it's important.
Yeah, it's definitely important to kind of raise awareness to, you know, what happened, and then also to also have Brandon and Eric get the support they need and they deserve.
Now, were you there at the time?
Actually, somebody was on my side that day. I left early from home, a little earlier than I normally would. I didn't ride nearly as long because, like Jennifer was saying, she's brand new. We had her 2 weeks. It was my first ride on her. So we were just kind of playing around and I wanted to get a feel for her.
Oh, so this is a brand new horse to you.
Yeah, I literally think I bought her mid-May, and she was she got dropped off at Eric's the Sunday before Memorial Day.
So did you buy her directly from a breeder?
No, I bought her from, the breeder owned her, but she was Matt Flerta and Eric Priest. Oh, yeah. Worked really closely together, and Eric actually worked for Matt, and he reached out, said, and Eric told Matt, listen, I got this kid. That this lady, she needs a good horse. What you got? And the breeder, the lady, I mean, I guess it would have been the breeder. They had her for sale, and Eric sent me a video, and I looked at him. I said, is this horse even like in my price range? And he's like, absolutely. He's like, I wouldn't send that to you. And he goes, trust me on this one. He goes, I know it's hard for you, but trust me, this is going to work out. So Matt Flerta helped, went out there, and because she was being trained at a different facility, rode her around, said, you know, did his normal, I don't like this, I like this, you know, but she's okay. and we got her home. And the day Eric got to ride her, because he was at a show the week that she got delivered, said, "This is exactly what you need." And I love her.
Her name was Daisy, and quarter horse, I assume.
She was actually not registered quarter horse. She was going to be registered paint.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, and that's not something I usually, she's got a rough little Magnum quarter horse and a Gunner Trasher mare that for somehow quarter horse rules wouldn't allow her to be registered quarter horse. But in the reining world, it can be grade. They don't care, you know, just as long as it gets the competition license from NRHA.
So you had just ridden her for the first time and then you left. Is that what happened?
Yep, I left. I left a little early, and I think I want to say just about 12 o'clock, about noon, I had left. Eric and I were talking about this coming weekend, and we were going to be, what was going to happen, and all about Daisy's future, because we both really liked her a lot, and she was just impeccable to deal with. Like, I mean, I only met the horse twice. I only got to see her twice, but she was just that type of horse that just, she really spoke to me as far as a horse concerned. And we were really hoping that she would make it. And I think she would have, if she'd been, you know, if this fire hadn't happened. So I left and I saw it on Facebook and I didn't think anything of it. And I came all the way home and I was at the barn with it, you know, with my dad, and it kind of hit me that I just drove 2 hours and didn't turn around to go back and figure out what happened.
Yeah, because I saw those early Facebook posts too, and it was really, nobody knew what was going on at that point. It was, they were early posts. And this happened so fast. That was the thing about, this is a huge barn. You know, how many mm-hmm. stalls this, it had to have 50, right?
I think there's about between 40 and 50-ish in the main barn, but then there's the mare barn out back, which never got touched, and those 10-ish horses or whatever was back there didn't get hurt, and thank gosh it didn't spread like it could have, and the people that were on their horses didn't get hurt, and neither did the horses that were tied up in the aisleways.
There were no people hurt, am I correct in that?
No, unfortunately. Eric being, I'm gonna call him the word, he's a hero. He is the absolute best human being.
And that's Eric
I've
Priest,
ever dealt
right?
with.
Eric Priest.
Yes, Eric yeah. Priest is one of the best human beings I've ever met, as far as, especially for horse trainers. They don't make them like him. He ran back into the fire to try to save the horses and unfortunately suffered second and third degree burns and is currently in the hospital. But he's very positive right now, as usual. He's just a very positive person. And, you know, I can't imagine, you know, how he's feeling, because I mean, he loves all of his clients and all of the horses, and he's just a impeccable human being.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sure people that haven't seen the news reports are wondering, you know, why he couldn't get it. This thing spread fast. I mean, it was fast. Mm-hmm. And we don't obviously know at this point what caused it or anything, but it was quick. And, you know, for him to run back in even then, it must have been terrifying for him, and God bless him for trying.
Yeah, from what I understand, it spread within 6 seconds, and it was so hot that the barn is built out of I-beams, and the I-beams started melting and folding. I mean, there was no saving anything. I mean, we're lucky that nobody else, that it wasn't worse, or, you know, and part of this barn, there's housing attached to it. What if somebody would have been sleeping in their home?
And I heard that, yeah, there were, what, 4 people that lost everything that way too?
I know of one, the Brandon Brandt's main assistant. She lost that. She lived there. I don't know if anybody else. I know there was a couple different apartments up there, but I don't know how many people actually lived there. But I'm sure they had a few more.
So, how are you doing?
Taking things by, you know, day by day, trying not to do the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, because that's never going to be any better. Because if you ask, I kept telling when it first happened, telling my husband and my dad, I should have turned around. I could have saved her. Because my horse was on the opposite side of the barn where the fire, where to me, it looks like where you see all the flames and stuff. She was on the opposite side near a door. And I'm like, I could have saved her. And my husband and my dad were like, yeah, but then he goes in there, he wouldn't have saved her. You would have been hurt too. And, you know, I know they're thankful. I didn't go back because they know if I would have put two and two together, they know I would have done it. And I would have
probably would have been too late anyway by that point.
And that's another thing. And honestly, I'm kind of glad I didn't have to see that. I feel bad for all the people that had to go pick up their horses and look at it in the state it's currently in. I mean, that's just, and all the people that were there.
I've seen, you know, I've been around horses that we put down and stuff, and I don't think I could do that. That's good. That's tough. Ugh, that's a tough one. Well, now the one thing that always happens in the horse community is when things go wrong, the horse community comes out. And from what I'm seeing, that's true of the reining world, especially.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the reining world just went hog wild, I'm going to say, in 24 hours. And then in some of the different other auctions and stuff, I mean, you see pleasure horse people donating breedings and embryos. And I mean, they're donating their time, and I'm sure they're, I mean, that's one thing that, I mean, I'm sure there's more stuff that I haven't seen, but I mean, there, it's just gone, and it's gone crazy. And I'm thankful that these people exist and they want to reach out and help Eric and Brandon. I know both of them have impeccable, reputations in the community as being just good trainers, good people, good horsemen. And I feel like that's always, you know, helps. And I know they're both just hard, you know, trying to figure out how to fix it for their clients. Well, and unfortunately,
and that's one of the reasons that we wanted to have you on, is because, you know, these weren't all their horses. You know, most of these were probably client horses. So there were so many people affected by this, not just, you know, not just Eric, not just Brandon. It's every, you know, there were a lot of people affected by this.
Yeah.
And the grooms and, you know, the stall cleaners, it's affected so many lives.
Yeah, they're out of jobs right now, too. So, you know, that it's just sad all the way around. I'm very sorry about Daisy. You know, and it is hard to find that horse where you have the instant connection with. That doesn't happen too much. I hope you find that again, you know.
I appreciate it.
I'm sure you will. You'll find it. You'll be determined. I can tell just by talking to you.
You know, and my thing is, I have grown. I've only been with Eric for just a little over a year. But you know, he's stuck with me for the rest of his life. I've told him that before. And if that didn't, you know, this just solidified it. And he's just, and I want him to come back and him to have our group there ready to support him and anything he needs.
Is there any way people can help?
Yeah, there's a ton of fundraisers. GoFundMe. There's a couple different ones for Eric. There's one that Shannon Hill, a fellow trainer, started, and then Jamie Miller, who is another client of Eric, so I've become very close with. They are great ones to go to. Professional Horse Services has their auction coming up on the 24th. I mean, if you can sell it, it's probably there. Vacations in Maui, you know, breedings, clothes, saddles, you name it, they're selling it. Then there's also BMAR Media selling t-shirts, and all the benefits are going to them. And if you can go on Amazon wishlist, they have an Amazon wishlist of all new tack and stuff they need. I mean, there's several different pages you could go to on Facebook. I think Jennifer has those.
Yeah, and we'll put the links in our show notes so you don't have to memorize them. We have the two main ones for Eric and then also for Brandt Performance Horses. So we'll definitely put those in. You know, I wish you the best of luck. I hope that you find something and you have that lifetime bond with the next one that comes along.
I appreciate it.
And our thoughts and prayers are with everybody out there in Ohio that has it's just been devastated by this. Thank you. Thank you to Jennifer, too, for arranging this. Jennifer, we appreciate you reaching out and letting us know.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on, guys. We're all in this for the love of the horse, and Brandon and Eric definitely exemplify that, as do all of you. So thanks and love to you all.
Well, of course, this episode is brought to you by Stateline Tack, as it has been for like 10 years here in the show. And if you head on over to statelinetack.com right now, you're going to see that they're highlighting all the summer riding stuff. And that includes 1K and Rumpf and Mountain Horse and Passoa and Equistar. You can shop their top-selling brands by just clicking on that banner at the top of the page. They have 9 pages of products, hundreds of products there highlighted right now. Some of them are on sale, and you know, I'm seeing up to 30% on some of the helmets right now, and I know there were some helmets that were being closed out as well. They also have Passoa saddles. Passoa, that is, when we had our tack shop, Passoa was one of our favorite brands. One, because they were just top quality saddles. And people that bought Passoas never disliked their Passoa. They always loved their Passoa. So they actually have a Passoa saddle on sale right now for, I'm sure it's only one or two of them. So you want to head on over right now to statelinetack.com. Stateline's one of those places you want to check often because their sales do change all the time. And they have they have boots on here. They have horse boots and people boots and gloves and breeches, just all kinds of stuff. Statelinetack.com. Click on the big banner at the top of the page. Well, next, this Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages.
And joining us now is Madeline Bost of Balanced Bay Nutrition, located in Ontario, Canada. You guys might remember her. We had her on the show a couple months ago, and she is our one-stop shop for all nutrition-based questions. And I just thought, you know, it's June. I live in the desert now. Glenn's in Florida. Jamie's in Oklahoma. It's hot. Let's talk about dehydration. Where should we start? What are some first signs of dehydration that you think owners should be aware of?
So when we talk about dehydration, salt and electrolytes are critical, but recognizing it is also important for the animal's health. A lot of horse owners will do the skin pinch test, which is great. Also being familiar, checking your horse's gums, even like jugular refill can be a good indicator. Being familiar with their usual heart rate and respiratory rate are all really good indicators.
And for the pinch test, for example, can you walk us through what that looks like, feels like, just in case we have some listeners maybe who aren't familiar?
Yeah, for sure. So when you're doing the skin pinch test, typically you do it on the neck of the horse, and you pinch the skin and make sort of a tent. That skin, when you let go, should essentially immediately go back to normal within 1 to 1.5 seconds. If it's taking a prolonged period of time, like 2 to 3 seconds or more than 4 seconds, that can indicate dehydration. If it's greater than 4 seconds, that would be very serious dehydration, and you'd want to get your vet involved.
So that's a great caveat to my next question for you. So I've pinched my horse's skin. Don't worry, guys, it doesn't hurt. And, you know, it's staying upright for over 4 seconds. I'm going to call the vet. What are some of the first steps that the vet is going to do when they come out to the barn to help with the dehydration? And then we'll talk about how we can stay ahead of the dehydration.
Yeah, great question. So when we talk about rehydrating a horse, if it's not severe dehydration, you'd be looking at electrolytes mixed in solution. When we have severe dehydration, you have to be really, really cautious, because sometimes when you give electrolytes, if they're not provided in adequate solution, you can actually dehydrate the animal further. So in those severe dehydration cases, you'd want the vet involved so that you could be doing intravenous fluids.
Fantastic. So let's all hope we don't have to call our vet for dehydration, right? How can I, as the horse owner, stay ahead, make sure my horse, you know, outside of leading a horse to water, if he won't drink, you know, what are some of the tips and tricks that I can utilize in the barn or maybe, you know, if I'm trailering to make sure that my horse is getting the electrolytes and salt that they need to stay hydrated?
Yeah, so for all horse owners, even if your horse isn't in any work, they should be getting loose salt in their feed every day. Whether it's hot outside or not, that's just a baseline. For your typical 1,000 or 1,100 pound horse, you'd be looking at about 2 tablespoons per day as their baseline requirement. From that there, anytime the horse is working or sweating, electrolytes should be being supplemented. So if your horse is in light work or even competing at lower levels, you can just put the electrolyte as a top dressing on their feed. However, gold standard really is to provide the electrolyte in solution. And this is going to be critical for the horses that are in heavy or very heavy work, competing on really hot days, or even being trailered in really hot weather. And so when we talk about electrolytes in solution, you would be still taking your same electrolyte powder, but mixing it with water. And so this, of course, relates with workload and also the heat index. So essentially, the more the horse sweats, the more electrolytes we need to be supplementing.
So I do have a... And heat's relative, right? So it's hot here in Florida, but the horses are kind of more used to it. You know, I think sometimes people think, well, it's only 85, you know, it's only 80 here in Pennsylvania right now. I don't need to have to worry about that. It's all, it's variable, right? It depends what the horses are used to, how much sweating they're
doing. For sure,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and that's a great point. And so the horses that are used to it may not be sweating as much in the warmer temperatures than compared to I'm up in Ontario. And so we have very different heat, and our horses might struggle more and sweat more in those warmer temperatures, whereas the horses in Florida would be more used to that.
And your temperature will be lower and they'll start sweating than they might not here because in Florida because they're used to it.
Even like one of the things that we see is in the spring before they've shed out completely their winter coat, a lot of them will sweat more because they just haven't shed out their full winter coat yet and it's warm.
Got it.
So keeping on the line of electrolytes and salt, tell us a bit about the differences between salt blocks and mineral blocks. Is one, you know, can they be swapped out for each other, or is there a important difference specifically to, you know, keeping our horses hydrated that one should be given over the other?
Great question. So we always see the different types of salt licks or salt blocks and mineral blocks. And for the most part, I like to say horses should always have a free choice salt source. I typically just recommend the plain white salt lick, or even better, having loose salt, because salt blocks were originally designed for cattle with really rough tongues. So horses generally don't get enough salt off of a block when that is their only salt source.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
And then, a lot of people don't know that, but so that's why we always say supplement
loose
salt.
Cow tongues are rough. Anybody that's touched one, they're rougher. Yeah.
Yeah, much rougher. It's a big difference for sure. And then with the different colors, it's just different minerals that are typically added. Like the blue blocks will have cobalt added, and then the red ones will be additional trace minerals. But from a nutrition standpoint, we wouldn't really ever rely on a block to be meeting a horse's nutrient requirement.
Okay, so that's great to know. The block is like a bonus, but it is not going to meet the needs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good to know. That's news to me. Growing up and owning the stable, I thought that it was one and done, even with the block in the stall. So that's all wonderful news to have. And a little bit of a different note. Again, I grew up riding in Florida and now live in the desert of New Mexico. Do you have any advice nutritionally for folks whose horses are non-sweaters or hesitant to sweat, how they can try to help keep them as hydrated as possible?
This is a great question. And one of the horses that I manage is really reluctant to sweat during the summer months. And so what I do for him is I just give him, provide him with electrolytes daily. So he knows he gets his bucket of water with electrolytes mixed in, and he just expects that every day with his dinner. And so that can just be some extra support for those that, that need it.
Wonderful. And so really, if I'm reaching for the Gatorade, I need to be sure that I'm giving my horse his own Gatorade at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. And horses actually lose a lot more electrolytes through their sweat than we do. They lose about 3 times more. So it's really, really important that we are supplementing them with electrolytes whenever they sweat.
Fantastic. Madeline, you are always such a pleasure to have on, such a wealth of knowledge. I know we can find you at balancedbaynutrition.com. Is there any other links or places folks can find you for every nutritional question they have?
Yeah, I post a lot of educational content on social media. So if they want to follow along on Instagram, it's at Balanced Bay Nutrition. And on Facebook, it's Balanced Bay Equine Nutrition Consulting.
Fantastic. And we'll be sure to drop those in the show notes so you guys don't have to think too hard on that. Madeline, wishing you a wonderful summer season and hoping that none of our horses get dehydrated. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was great to chat with you guys.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Daily Dose Equine uses non-GMO whole food ingredients like alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Daily Dose Equine doesn't use fillers, bulking agents, or leftovers from other industries, so you can feed less yet improve body condition and energy. And our feeds are free from chemical residues and glyphosate. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at dailydoseequine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with fly predators. Fly predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem. Learn more about fly predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at Spalding, SPALDING-labs.com.
Well, you're the lucky one that gets to play study show with me.
Yay!
I think Jamie's sick of study show, so I'm glad you're here. So the way we do this is, and the reason we do this, years ago, we just kept finding all these ridiculous studies that people do, and it could be about horses or about anything, really. And so I started looking up every month. I look study show in Google and look at what studies we've wasted our money on. And let me tell you, we have some obvious wastes of money on this month's study show. It's just like, did anybody even question that in the first place? And why did we do the study? Yeah, because everybody knows that that's just the way it is. So it's just ridiculous amounts of money wasted on studies, and we just kind of have some fun and make fun of them. And you get to guess. So I'm going to give you a lead-in to the study, and you're going to kind of guess what the study showed. All right.
Great. I love it.
And then we have one study. I never look, by the way. I never look beyond the headlines. I never read the study.
We call that TLDR. Too long, didn't read.
Yeah, I didn't read it. I don't care that much to read them, and they're ridiculous anyway. Except there was one. It was about horses, and I read it because it involves horses in history, and it was kind of interesting, and I'll do that one last.
Yay.
All right. So, studies show that credit cards make you...
depressed.
When the bill comes, yes. There's probably been a study on that, too. Credit cards make you spend more. Now,
oh, wow. Jeez,
who thought that you had a credit card and you spent less? Does
Where
anybody
is
thought
this
that?
A headline?
Yeah. Has anybody in the history of having a credit card spent less because they had a credit card? No. No, none of us have done that. Now, some of us use credit cards more responsibly than others, and I have been in both of those camps, irresponsible and responsible.
Oh, I think everyone starts in the irresponsible camp.
Yeah, and I did.
And then you learn your lesson, and then you're in the responsible camp, because we do the same thing. I love me some Amex points.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amex points, because you have to pay those off right away.
Oh, but then I got lounge access. Like, ooh, I feel so fancy.
We do, by the way, we did some flights to go to Pennsylvania, and we do have one of those lounge cards.
Yeah.
Every airport we go to, the lounge is like completely on the opposite side of the airport, and I don't think I've ever used it.
Oh, I love a lounge. Ugh,
it's just that they're always either not there, or we've gone to a couple recently that have been full and they turn you away. So that's been fun.
That is depressing. See, circle back.
Actually, there should be a study about that and how many people actually get to use the lounge at the airport. Next study. Studies show that excessive use of energy drinks have a positive or negative effect on young adults.
Oh my gosh, obviously negative.
Yeah, that would be the answer, negative. They did say, though, they clarified, I just read the tagline, and they did clarify that one or two energy drinks are fine. It's when they start drinking 12 a day. Again, I think we know that intuitively.
Yeah, like, this didn't need to be studied, guys.
Yes, I think intuitively we knew that was the answer. Now, next study. Studies show that bike riding, even electric bikes, is blank for you.
Is the answer really good for
you?
Yes,
it really is good. It really is good for you. And it helps prevent knee issues and boosts longevity, which any exercise probably boosts longevity, right? Unless you're doing it excessively and you die from your exercise. It's probably good for you to actually do exercise.
So, you don't say.
I like that they included electric bikes in that study, because people think with an electric bike, you still pedal. Right, that's correct.
I mean,
it did, by the way, it did help Jennifer's knees bike riding.
Oh, I bet. Of course.
Yeah, she's had bad knees, and apparently the way the knee moves when you're bike riding is different than when you're running, let's say, because she can't run.
Right, because there's not that concussive.
Right.
Yeah.
It's getting exercise without the concussive part.
Yeah.
Same as swimming, I guess, would be kind of the same, too. Potential for injuries from... I love this. I'm not going to have you guess this one. This was the next study that I saw. That the potential for injuries from e-bike and e-scooter accidents is growing with their popularity.
Oh, shocking.
Let me get this right. The more people that do something, the more chance there is for something to go wrong.
You know, Glenn, I think we're in the wrong business. We need to be scientists and do these studies.
And charge millions of dollars to do them. And honestly, we don't even really have to do them. We could just write up the report without doing it, because we already know the answer.
They're not going to double check our work. We'll be like, oh, yeah, here's a chart. Boom.
There we go. Studies show... Oh, this is again... It's like, really? Somebody thought differently. Studies show that high blood pressure blank heart disease.
Causes?
Yeah, contributes to heart disease. Yes, that's actually what the headline was. Studies show that high blood pressure contributes to heart disease. Was there somebody that thought high blood pressure didn't contribute to heart disease?
They're like, oh, maybe it's good for you.
Every one of these I'm going, is there somebody that actually thought they didn't? Obviously there was, or there wouldn't have been a study.
Somebody was like, David, we need a study out now. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, what can we talk about this one? What can we charge the government for this one? Oh, this is another good one. This is the exact same as the high blood pressure one. Studies show that sleep deprivation is...
bad.
Yeah, I love... See, Jamie tries to overthink these and then, you know, thinks herself right out of the answer. You go with the obvious answer, and that is correct. That's... Studies show that sleep deprivation is really bad for you in many ways.
Thank you, study.
Yeah. Okay. So not sleeping, anybody think it was good for you to not sleep at all? I don't think so. Anybody that's
Anyone who's had a good day after not sleeping.
Yes, anybody that's had insomnia knows this answer. By the way, it listed the way it was bad for you too, all the things that go wrong when you... And again, we all know that because we've all had those days. Studies show that violent crime goes up when? This one's kind of open-ended.
Violent crime goes up when?
Think very
it's
obvious.
It's a full moon?
That could be the answer. I'm sure there was a study about that. Think more obvious than even that.
on the weekends.
What's full moon cause sometimes?
High tides.
The weather to change. So studies show that in summertime, violent crimes go up. Yes, I think we all knew that in winter.
It goes down. Kids are off school. Yeah,
they're off school. It's hot. People are outside. Yes, people don't want to go out and commit crimes when there's 3 feet of snow and sub-zero temperature. It always goes down in the winter. It always has gone down in the winter. Studies show that teens who are in sports blank their mental health.
Are sporty? Oh, it's good for their mental health.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Studies show that teens who are in sports improve their mental health. Again, did somebody doubt that exercise was bad for you? Did somebody think that was bad for you, that we needed to do a study?
Now, Crystal, you're 17. Yeah. You shouldn't be taking care of yourself.
No, no running for you.
Come, go sit down and play more video games.
Oh, I got one about that too later on. Okay, this was a bizarre study. Usually we have coffee in a study. No coffee this month, by the way. We always have coffee and marijuana. We do have marijuana. We don't have coffee. But this one, studies show that electric brush toothbrushes are better or bad for your teeth. What's your guess?
I'm going to go with better.
Yes, better for your teeth.
Yes.
By 50% better for your teeth. And the reason really was, I actually read this one because Jennifer uses an electric toothbrush. I do not. And it's not that we argue about it. She just doesn't. I don't.
Yeah.
But it, because you brush longer.
Sure. Because it has that timer on it.
Yep. With your electric toothbrush. And I think that was a majority of the reason is you brush longer with it. So I violated my own rule and actually read it. It was only a marital thing, the reason I read it. Studies show that daily marijuana use is more common or less common than daily alcohol consumption in the United States.
Oh, what a good question. I mean, it's getting more and more legalized.
We were somewhere.
And alcohol is like not as cool anymore with the youth.
We were coming into Harrisburg Airport. It was like, what was it? 6 a.m. when we got there to come back home. And there was somebody smoking pot outside because it was like, whoosh.
Oh my gosh. It's been like that in DC before. And now here in New Mexico, it's legal. And it's like,
oh, you probably get it everywhere. Walk.
I'm like, whoa.
Especially in Santa Fe.
I'm going to say yes. It's that marijuana daily use is higher than alcohol. Cause I just feel like being sober from alcohol is trending right
now. It just became more common. It just passed daily alcohol consumption.
Wow.
That's a lot of pot. That's a lot of pot being smoked. Because we know how much people drink. So
Willie Nelson's just raking it in, yeah, baby.
Willie was way before his time. Studies show, three more actually. Studies show that this, I put this one in here specifically because I knew you were going to be on the show and you lived in Italy. And that's where this study was done.
Oh gosh.
Studies show that music can affect how wine tastes. Does it make it taste better or worse? And now before you answer, this is actually them playing music in the wine cellar, not when you're drinking it.
Oh,
this
so
is
like
for
molecularly.
The aging process. Yes.
Well, see, I feel like I need to know what kind of music they're playing.
And I will tell you, it was classical, like Bach and things like that.
Okay. I'm going to go with better.
You are correct.
Yes.
So this was a 20-year study that they did, and they found that this one winery plays Bach all the time, like 24 hours a day in their big barrel-holding place.
Yeah.
And they found that the ones that they had in the barrel-holding place and the ones they had that weren't in the music place, they tasted smoother.
See, I bet from a science perspective that if it's loudly played, it's actually like moving the sediment.
You guessed it exactly. I also looked at this one.
I know a thing or two about wine,
I also
guys.
Looked at this one. It's the vibrations from the music that cause the liquid in the barrels to vibrate, and that helps with sediment. Exactly, yep. What you said, and it makes it smoother.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah. So that was done in Italy. I don't remember which part. I didn't read that close. So I knew you'd
Who
love
cares?
That one.
Buy Italian
being
wine.
Being a wine connoisseur, I knew you'd love that one.
Oh, that's a really fun one.
This one will surprise you. Studies show that gaming, you know, video games, mm-hmm. Is blank for your mental health.
bad.
No. See, this latest study, now we've had studies that say it's terrible, right? But this latest study says it's neutral. It's not really bad for your mental health, and it's also not good either. It's just neutral.
So tell that to all my friends with teenage boys who, like, have no social
yeah,
skills.
Yeah, who don't leave the basement. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and they smell like 3-week-old pizza.
I didn't read the study, of course, but I think it, you know, because I think excessive, you know, how much you play, probably. I play a little bit of video gaming, probably 2 hours a week. And so for me, it's kind of neutral, right? It's not good or bad. It just is. But if you're playing 20 hours a day, it's probably bad for your mental health. So anything in excess, even wine. Ashley, I hate to tell you, but anything. Even marijuana, apparently.
Yeah, really?
All right, one more study show, and this involves horses. So we read this one. You and I both read this one.
Yes.
So 133 researchers across 113 institutions, colleges, were in this study. It's a huge study. And the team looked at the equine archaeological remains spread across Eurasia. So they took a look at all kinds of equine archaeological remains. And they did radiocarbon dating and DNA sequencing of both modern horses and ancient samples dating back 50,000 years ago. And what they successfully identified is that horses were likely first domesticated around 5,500 years ago. And guess where?
I would have guessed, like, I guess, like, where Jesus came, right? Like, the,
no,
what's
actually,
that called?
You'd be
really
wrong. It was the in Mongolia, the steppes of Central Asia.
Wow.
And we've talked about Mongolia a lot on these shows over the years and how their horse culture dates back thousands of years, and that's where they think it started. Now, in the early days, 5,500 years ago, it was primarily a source of reliable milk and meat, and they still do eat horse meat there, but they were using them as, you know, livestock. And they think it was 4,200 years ago when a second attempt at domestication happened, and that was... They saw that certain horse species started to travel, were starting to be used for travel. They found them in different places, so they could genetically follow their travels. So they think the domestic horse as a mode of transportation and use in carts and wagons and all of that started 4,200 years ago, and it was kind of a second domestication. And that's the one they believe truly transformed human history, obviously, until what, early 1900s.
So, yeah, right, till we got cars.
Yeah. So that's what the study showed, and it was a huge study, and it was done over, you know, all of these institutions, and the things they can do with DNA, as we learned last week on the show, is amazing. So good for them. That was the study, and that's as in-depth as I'm going to go, because the rest of it, to be honest, I didn't understand at all.
It's gobbledygook.
That's all I got out of it. All right, we're going to wrap up. Hang on, auditors. We're going to be back with you after the show for a couple of minutes. Ashley and I will hang around. But in the meantime, Jamie should be back on Friday. We have the NRHA show tomorrow with, obviously, one of the people who did lose their barn in that fire. So he'll be on tomorrow. It was pre-barn loss, though, so you'll get to see what kind of cool guy he really is. And Ashley, tell us about your shows.
We have a really, really, really great episode of Quarter Horse Podcast coming out next week, where we actually had three different folks from the Equestrians with Disabilities join us, giving us a full view of that incredible program. And you guys will learn something about me that you might have not known, and I don't want to spoil it. So make sure you tune into the Quarter Horse Podcast next week. And then, of course, you'll also hear from me on the Show Jumping Podcast. And whenever you can't sleep, sleep stories for equestrians.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on Friday.